This is 91.7 FM, WHUS Stores, Connecticut. I am Peddlin' Ron, and you are listening to Bicycle Talk. It is December 7th, 2016. Welcome to Bicycle Talk, this week with my co-host, Fran Storch, a show where we talk about bicycles, bicycle culture, bicycle advocacy, upcoming news in cycling, bicycle business, and the bicycle calendar. If you have a comment or you'd like to contribute information to the show, please text or call at 860-486-9487, or you can email me at bicycletalk1@gmail.com. Or if you're listening to us on podcast, you can also send an email to bicycletalk1@gmail.com. I'd like to thank you all for listening. It's December. It's starting to feel a little more like winter out here in beautiful Connecticut. It gets a little chilly this time of year, so we're dealing with that. But that's what happens this time of year. So lots of us are moving indoors. I had a really cool chat yesterday with someone who's going to be coming on in a few more weeks, and we're going to talk about indoor cycling and spinning. That will be on a future show. So please stay tuned for that, and we can have some discussion about that. Ron's rant of the week. Okay, so here's my rant this week. So I have this friend, Bob, who actually, Bob was actually on the show. And Bob, I believe, is probably listening right now. So hello, Bob. He takes my spin class, and he was also the person who rode his bicycle across the country. And we had a thing a few weeks ago. He said something about one person riding a bike is called a bicycle rider. And two people riding a bicycle together, so you're like side by side, that's called a bicycle race. So this is my rant. Why? Why does this need to be? Why can't you just calm down and take your inner competitiveness and please just shelve it to go for a nice ride? Just go out, enjoy the company you're with, and just have a really, really nice bike ride. It gets a little annoying sometimes when you go out and you're riding along with someone and they start doing something called, Fran knows this one, the half wheel. And the half wheel is when one rider pulls up alongside of another rider and they ride about a half a wheel length in front of the other rider. What this forces that rider to do is then they come up and try to meet their wheels next to the other person. So you're riding actually handlebar to handlebar, which is very safe and it's a very good thing to do. And I can talk about that a little bit in a second. But then that overly competitive rider tends to creep forward and then half wheels the rider again, which then forces the other rider to pull forward. And before you know it, you have no longer two people riding a bicycle together, but you have a bicycle race. So bad behavior should be... you should pay attention to this. You probably don't want to do this if you want to have friends on bicycles, unless you're out there to just beat each other. If that's your purpose in life, that's wonderful. Good for you. Who am I to judge? But if you ride with me and you do that, you're going to get yelled at. I will yell at you and tell you to stop half-wheeling me. I have a good friend of mine who I raced with for many, many years, and if you did it to him, he would yell at you first, and then if you did it again, he would grab onto the back of your shorts and pull them down over the back of your seat. And that's a shout-out to Dave Geisert, my good friend Dave, who was really good about that. So anyway, no half-wheeling. When you're going to ride with someone, ride with them, not against them.
Especially in December.
Yeah, especially in December. It's not necessary. I mean, you know, if it's the middle of the summer and you want to kind of test yourself out and you want to do that, that's great. But communicate that with the person you're riding with. If you want to push it, if you are in the idea of, so you're going for this ride, but you want to kind of, you know, you want to step it up today, tell the person that that's what you want to do.
I think that the thing that's so hard about half wheeling is that it's insidious, is that that there's an unspoken thing going on. That's the whole. See, competition. One of the things when I got into cycling, one of my losses of innocence was I discovered that there was competition, and there wasn't just competition when you got into a race, but when people would ride together, they would compete with each other, and they would compete with each other without stating that that was what they were doing. And then there was an element of bragging and gloating that went along with that. And that made me really uncomfortable. Now, the thing is, if you go out with your buddy and you're like, you say to each other, okay, let's take off and let's sprint to the top of that hill. And you sprint as fast as you can, and maybe one of you gets there ahead of the other, then the other one, you applaud each other for the good effort, if that's your stated purpose.
Right.
But when you're with somebody who you're just on a group ride with, and there was no stated purpose of any sort of competition, that it's just a group ride, and you're trying to stay with the person, and the person is just gradually pushing the pace, doing exactly what you're talking about,
creeping,
half-wheeling.
They're creeping.
They're
on
creeping
you, yes.
forward. Mm-hmm. All of a sudden, the ride is a lot faster than it should be. And the thing is that it's the other person's way of showing off to you, gloating to you, and doing it in an unstated way. And that, in the end, is going to create bad feelings.
And it does. So anyway, the safe way to do it and the right way to do it, if you eventually want to stop half-wheeling, is you need to try to line up handlebar to handlebar.
Yes.
That's what you're trying to do. If you're riding side by side, if you are in that situation where you have the enough safety on the road so that you can ride side by side and you have the room to do it, then handlebar to handlebar is the idea. Now, here's the reason why. If you half wheel someone, if you're riding a little bit in front of them and they're riding a little bit in back of you, there is a possibility of you getting your handlebars tangled up with one another, and
wow.
you're both going to end up in a big pile on the ground, and it's not going to be a pretty scene. So riding side by side is a much safer place to be. Why is it a safer place to be? Because when you're riding side by side, handlebar to handlebar, hand to hand, if you get a little too close to one another, you just ease out your elbow just a little bit, and it'll separate you,
yes.
and you'll be safe. But you can't do that if you're half-wheeled.
Right, because the person's...
So if that person drifts over into you, you can't get out of it.
Because they don't...
You can't get out of it.
Peripheral vision.
And they can't see where you are. So they can't see that they've come into your line.
Right.
And they've interrupted your space.
Yeah, talk about that elbow a little more. That's an interesting concept.
Well, the elbow is a really neat thing. And you know, I've clinicked a bunch of rides, and I love doing that because you get to teach people... how to ride safely in a group, because many times you're going to end up in a group, even if you're doing even a charity ride or anything like that. You're going to find yourself in a group, and so you need to be able to know how to behave yourself in that group. And so what you do is you simply just, all you do is you just push your elbow out, and when you push your elbow out, you'll bump into the other person with your elbow. And because you're both going forward down the road, because you're both moving in a forward direction, the second you do that, it just separates you. No quick turns, no unpredictable moves, nothing like that. You just push yourself away very, very gently. When I clinic people on this, and when I get them to actually do this in practice before a ride, I actually line them up side by side. And I think we have a caller on, which we'll get to in just a moment. So anyway, what happens is I line them up before we even ride, before we even roll out, and I just have them lean into each other, standing side by side in a group, and just lean into each other and push out, and there it is, and it works great. It's just a great thing. So practice this. Practice it with a friend. Practice it when you're not riding the bike, but you're just sitting on the bikes next to each other, and do that, and that's the best way to do it. So anyway, it's called half wheeling. We like to try to keep away from that. If you really do want to race bicycles, there are opportunities out there for racing bicycles. Hopefully when we get through to our caller here, we can talk a little bit more about
Hello,
that
Hunter?
Today. And, we have someone who's trying to call us and
Hunter?
We're having troubles with our phones again, it looks like. Anyway,
Hunter?
I can hear you, Fran, but I think everyone can hear you, but we don't. I don't think your phone is ringing right now.
No,
it's not.
Hunter.
Okay.
Hunter.
So anyway, what we're trying to get through to, through to Hunter Pronovost, who is
Hunter.
With the CCAP, which is the Connecticut Cycling Advancement Program, and they're involved with the cyclocross race nationals that are in Hartford coming up. So we're hoping to get through to him right now. And if we can, we'll put him on the air, and we'll talk a little bit more about nationals and what's going on here in cyclocross here in Hartford. And that's a big deal. It is coming up in January. I spoke about this last week. It is at Riverfront Park in Hartford, which is, if you're familiar with the Hartford area at all, it is where the Boathouse is, which is right on the Connecticut River, just north of I-84. And so anyway, the Connecticut, the National Cyclocross Championships will be there in January. It's January 3rd through January 8th in Hartford, Connecticut. So we're hoping to get through to our caller, and we will know a little bit more then.
Hunter?
And see if he is there. Anyone on the line here? No one's here. No one's here. I can't hear him. But anyway, there is a schedule of events. I went over this last week. I'd really like to talk to my caller, and he can give us a lot more information on this, which would be really, really nice. But the registrations starts and packet pickups start on Monday, the 2nd of January. And then there are races that actually begin on the 3rd, on Tuesday, and they go all the way through until the Sunday the 8th is the final day of racing.
Are you with us, Hunter?
And we still don't have our caller online here. We're still waiting to get our caller in here. So anyway, if you've never seen cyclocross before, it is by far one of the most exciting bicycling events that there is out there, I think, because it's not just riding on the road, it is actually riding off the road too. And it's if you're out there and you're listening to us, could you please just call us again, because we seem to be having a problem with getting through here. I don't know if you can hear us or not, but This is a big deal. It's what you're going to see is you're going to see people riding their bicycles off-road, and they're not mountain bicycles. That's the key point here. They are not mountain bicycles. These are road bicycles. They look just like a bicycle that you would ride on the road. They have drop bars on them. They look just like anything you would normally ride on the road. But they are not on the road. They're actually their tires are made to be a little bit more performant. So anyway, the difference between the other differences on a cyclocross bike versus a road bike is that a cyclocross bike will have a little bit longer wheelbase on it. It'll have actually extra room for the fatter tires that they use on it. So they are using a slightly wider tire than what you're using on the road to race on the road. And so it's a kind of a modified road bike, we'll call it that. The bike is actually made to handle off-road conditions. It's also made to handle a very, very muddy situation. So if you get caked up mud on the bike, there's a lot of extra clearance there. And the bike is also a slightly less aggressive bike than a road bike is, so that it can handle bouncing around off-road and doing all sorts of crazy things like riding through deep mud and jumping over things and riding on very bumpy terrain. So it's a neat bike. It is truly, of all the bicycles that I own, it is my favorite bicycle. I just love my cross bike. It's just a lot more fun than even my regular road bike is. And I am often seen riding my cyclocross bike on the road. So it's not unusual to use it for multi-purpose. So if you're in the market for a road bicycle right now, and you're thinking about, gee, I'd love to have a road bike, but now I'm thinking about this cyclocross bike, and then I was looking at mountain bikes, and gosh, I just don't know what to get the cross bike. Because the cross bike, you can play all the games on the cross bike. It's the best of all the worlds. So it's a great thing. And anyway, that's what a cyclocross bike is all about. So you're going to see people racing these things. And it gets exciting because, A, there are very large fields that are possibly as big as 150 people in a field. And they will be, there's a lot of bumping of elbows. And you remember I was talking earlier on the rant about riding side by side, and also being able to lean into someone. Well, there's a lot of that that goes on, and there's a lot of people that are making mistakes, let's call it that. So there's a bunch of crash and burns going on too, which is kind of wild. And it's great visual entertainment, let's put it that way. So if you get a chance to the Nationals and see what's going on, that would be a really good thing. So anyway, go to the Cross Nationals. Check it out. It's really cool. You can volunteer for the Cross Nationals, and that's another thing that we can talk about in a little bit. I talked about that a bit last week, too, to get yourself involved a little bit more in giving back to your sport, which is always a good thing. They're always looking for help. I have volunteered a bunch of days there. I am helping with course setup. I am helping with marshaling. They got me tied into a whole bunch of work there, and this is my passion. I love this sport. You're going to see the best riders in the United States there competing for the national championships. And the thing that happens is on the very high level of racers, when we get into the category 1, 2, 3 pro racers, these are the top riders that we will send to the world championships, which are coming up shortly after. They will be, I think they're in February. So they would be in February, and I'm not sure where the worlds are this year, but they're somewhere in Europe, I can guarantee you. And quite often it will be Belgium, because Belgium is the cyclocross capital of the world. That's where the best riders come from, and they are just completely overwhelmed by this sport. They love cyclocross, and it's a really, really big deal there. I have been involved with cross since 1983, and programs like mine and others throughout the country have really built the sport to a point where we now are competitive when we go to the first years when I was racing cross, which was way, way back a long, long time ago, back in the 80s. I actually started in the 70s. When I was racing cross, there was a U.S. team that went over to the Worlds, the first U.S. team to go over to the Worlds. They'd never raced cyclocross before. And they ended up on a college campus, and they were staying up on the fifth floor of the dormitory. And they knew that they were in trouble when they saw the Belgian national team or the Polish national team. I can't remember which one it was, but it's one of those two. And they knew that they were in trouble when they saw them riding down the stairs on their cyclocross bikes. So I want you to just think about this just for a minute, because it's if you look at a stairwell and that is in a large building like that, there's probably a series of, 5 or 6 steps, and then a turn, and then another series of steps and another turn, and then you're down to the next floor. So they're constantly turning, and you're dropping down the stairs the whole way. And they're watching these guys masterfully ride down the stairs. And Mike Neal looked at his guys and said, "This is going to be a tough day." And that was just the funniest thing, because that's shows you the skill levels that are there. Now, can I ride downstairs? I can ride downstairs. It took a lot of practice. Did I fall doing it? Yes, I've fallen a few times doing it. And you don't want to fall going downstairs. That's just really not a great idea. So I keep my stairs to the going down with no turns. And I can actually do it, but it does require a lot of practice, and you may have a little crash and burn go on there when you do it. And chances are, if you are practicing this, you might be practicing it on some, let's say, stairs that are outside, which may be concrete. So you just want to be aware of the fact that when you do make the tumble, you've got to protect yourself so you don't get hurt. But the idea is very, very simple. It seems like it would be a very difficult thing to do. But actually, if you just get your weight far enough back on the bike and over the back of the rear wheel, and what I do when I'm going downstairs is I get behind the back of my saddle, and I actually keep my rear end behind there. So I've got a little ballast, not much ballast because I'm not a very big guy, but I got a little ballast back there. And that keeps my weight centered over the bike properly for the angle of which I'm going down the stairs. And that will get you down a set of stairs. I will say that I tried it just a little while ago to see if I still had the skills to do it, and I was able to do it, but it's a little frightening at first when you're learning how to do this, which is the CCAP program. I'm looking here, and I'm seeing there's even a CCAP junior travel team, and the travel team is an offer. It's offered as an extension of CCAP's club team program. And just to remind you, CCAP is the Connecticut Cycling Advancement. Our friend Tom has started bike racing in his 50s. And so it's never too late. And Tom has had some success. He started out by racing cyclocross. Yay, there you go. Good old cyclocross. It gets you in there. Anyway, the CCAP travel team starts in the beginning of the New England road racing season in March and continues through the end of September. And it also then goes into, once you get into the August and September time period, that's when the cyclocross races start. And there are cyclocross races throughout the Connecticut region that are accommodating young riders. And the travel team, you have to be ages 15 to 18. So it's going to take the older riders on that. But you can get involved with this at a very young age. So you can get a child involved in CCAP at 10 years of age and up. And they can learn all the basics of bicycle racing. It's very similar to any other sport that you would put your child into, except that this is on a bicycle. And the beauty of this is the people that are coaching are all bicycle racers or ex-bicycle racers themselves, and they are they're well qualified, and many of them have a USA Cycling coaching license, and they really they'll show you how to do it from the beginning. I didn't have this when I first started racing bikes. When I first started racing bikes, someone suggested to me that maybe I should race bikes. And I showed up to a bike race and had no idea what I was doing. And, of course, you either have a very quick learning curve and you get good at it very quickly, or you have a lot of, unfortunately, you don't have a lot of success and you end up with some limitations and you get discouraged. I fortunately did do fairly well with it to start with, and then I hooked up with a couple of bike racers that recognized the fact that I could actually complete a race, and they took me under their arm and they taught me how to race. And I trained with them and I learned all of the techniques that are involved so that you can stay in a race, and the ways of staying safe without, you know, getting yourself hurt, which is really important. It's really good to get involved here. I'm looking at the list online here, and I'm seeing 10, 11, 12, 13, 14 different groups throughout Connecticut alone that are coaching junior racers. This is fabulous. This is just absolutely fabulous. It would be great if we had one. We have 14. And because of that, I know that when I was promoting the Hartford race, I was getting calls from people out of state that were calling to ask what was going on with the junior races, what we had available, what age groups we were offering. And I was telling them, well, we're affiliated with the CCAP program, so we have every age group covered throughout, and they were bringing their kids to Connecticut to race for the experience, because we have more riders, more junior riders than anyone else around, which is a great thing. So if you are thinking about getting involved in this in your state, if you're listening to this on podcast and you're thinking about getting involved in something like this, this is a really good thing. You should go to the Connecticut Cycling Advancement Program's website, which is www.ctcycling.org, and check them out. And if you contact them, I'm sure they'd be very happy to explain to you how they got things going in their area. And this has just been a really, really great thing. you can you're going to see that getting involved in something like this is very exciting. It is it's a wonderful thing to get a child who loves bicycles but does not love playing baseball or playing football, or a child like me, actually. I was one of those kids. I was that, you know. I'm sure that there's a few of you out here that can relate to this, especially if you ride a bike or you run, because we tend to be of a different mold, so to speak. But when it came time to pick teams, when you were doing one of those ball sports, I was the one who was the, we don't want him this time. We had him last time. That was me. I went on to become a very successful bicycle racer and running racer. Somehow, some way, no one really saw the talent, and I found that I was much better off doing things that did not involve the coordination, the hand-eye coordination of operating a ball. I love to watch ball sports. I think they're great. I just can't participate in them because it's not my thing. So anyway, but if you have that child and you're thinking, gee, maybe this is what I should do. If you see your child out in the yard riding around in circles and just riding their bike back and forth and back and forth and back and forth, that's a sign. Okay, that's a sign that child may be very, very interested in getting a lot more involved in the possibility of bicycle racing. So check these guys out. They've got a program going. You could have a program going too. There's a mountain bike camp. There's a summer road camp. They have a Connecticut Cross Summer Training Program, which is where we have coaches, again, with different teams all over the state, where we get kids involved in this whole cyclocross thing. There's a spring mountain bike series. So if mountain bikes are more your child's passion and their love, then they could race mountain bikes. It's a really cool thing. There's also a summer road series too, as well as a summer road camp. So there's all these different things that you can get your kids involved with if you want to. It's just you just have to reach out. People are out there that want to help you with this. And I'm just looking at the summer road series here, and I see 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. There's 9 different races starting in May and going through September, including a Tuesday night criterium, and it's a training series. And the training series is actually, I believe they still hold this at Rensselaer Field out where the UConn Huskies play football. They use the roads that wrap around the stadium, so it's very safe. There's no cars involved. There's no problem with, you know, policing it, other than just having marshals out there. A great place to learn how to race a bike, because it's flat. It is flat, flat, flat. There are no hills, but you will learn the skills, and you'll learn about riding side by side with other people at high speed. You'll learn about sitting on the wheel of another rider, which is the, you know, very beneficial place to be, because the rider in front is working harder than the rider in the back. You'll learn techniques. You'll learn the strategies involved in bicycle racing. And we've just got a great, great program here in the state of Connecticut that is teaching kids how to do this. So, the group is called the Connecticut Cycling Advancement Program. They have a number of things going on, and they are the primary, they're the concern that is actually putting on the Cyclocross National Championships. They obviously have some sponsors involved here too, which is very nice, but they're a solid organization, and they've got a lot of national recognition to the program that they're running. And they are involved with the Nationals. There's a possibility we may get the phones to work here again. We're hoping. But anyway, we'll just keep talking about this a little bit more. So Cyclocross Nationals, be there. You want to get there from the very beginning. You can just, if you have the time to stop by, that would be great. It's the first week in January. It's January 3rd through January 8th. It's in Hartford, Connecticut. It's at Riverfront Park. It's a beautiful place for a race. Very, very nice. You're right along the Connecticut River. If you're a photographer and you like to take pictures of the racers while they're racing, you get a great backdrop on the river. I put a race on there in Hartford at this exact same park in September, and people have sent me some amazing pictures from there because they get this beautiful backdrop of the city of Hartford and then, you know, the park and the racers. And so if you just want to go out and test your skills at taking pictures of a bike race, that's another good thing to do. It's kind of fun. We're hoping that now that we're starting to get a little bit more moisture here, that maybe it will get a little muddier and a little more interesting as far as the course goes. The race that I had in September, it was dry as a bone, and it was actually the first lap, I was talking to a rider a couple of weeks ago at one of the local bike shops, and he said the first lap of that race was the most difficult lap he's ever ridden in a bike race. And I asked him why, and he said because he couldn't see where he was going because there was such a cloud of dust that was being kicked up by all the riders. And he was in a pretty sizable field. So anyway, He said, you know, you couldn't see from the back to the front because it was just this huge cloud of dust, and they were all eating dust, and it was really bad. But anyway, we're looking right now at a lot of dampness, so it shouldn't be a problem now. But anyway, is our caller online now?
Hey.
I hear someone.
I was going to do.
Yeah, he's talking to us, but he can't hear us. That's the problem right now.
You're distracting me from my chef.
I know we are distracting you. Here we go. So anyway, he is still trying to talk to us. I can hear him. He can't hear us. That's what's going on right now. If you're also interested in getting more involved in the bicycle racing thing, you will find that you can go to another website, which is www.usacycling.org, and that is the USA Cycling website. USA Cycling is based out of Colorado.
Hi, Hunter. Can you hear me?
And
better than that one.
He cannot hear
you. Can
you
hear me, Hunter?
He cannot hear you. If he heard you, he would hear us.
And left.
Okay. Anyway, so anyway, you can go to the USA Cycling website and you can learn how to get a racing license, which is something that is required to be a bicycle racer. There is a registration process involved. If you're a young rider, like we've been talking about, I believe that they have some discounts for the younger riders to get involved with. There is also, if you get very interested in this, there is also a way to connect with area coaches. There's a way to connect with area clubs, and you can really learn a lot from the www.usacycling.org. You can also become a coach if you wish to. So you can actually get a license to coach, and then you'll be certified and you can teach others how to race bicycles officially. And that's another thing that you can do. So anyway, check that out too. That's another great asset that we have here in cycling if you want to get involved in cycle racing. But most of all, let's check out that Cyclocross Championship, which is in Hartford in the first week of January, because you're going to see the best of the country there. And there are some amazing riders. And we have not only our junior riders, which is what we were going to kind of talk about here today, but we also have different age categories, men's, women's. We even have riders that are deep into their 70s and 80s that are still competing on the national scene. So there's rides for everyone. There's races for everyone there. But what we really need is we need you to come out and we need you to support it, because the more fans we have, the more people we have there, you know, yelling and screaming. And, oh, there's another little thing I'll get to in a second. But the more people we have there making noise, the more people will be encouraged to want to come back to Hartford to race bicycles, because they'll see a level of support that that Connecticut has to offer here. And if you are listening and you're from out of state and you're, let's say, in Massachusetts or Rhode Island or New York or New Jersey, and you're coming up to do nationals, bring all your friends, bring everybody down so that they can be part of the action, because it's an exciting thing. And we have it right here, right in the center of Connecticut. So it's just a really, really special time. And we'd really love to have your support. So about supporting a race, when you go to a cyclocross race, there is a tradition that has been going on for a number of years, other than some of the local races or even some of the bigger races that are not the national championships, because it will not happen there. But if they are a private race that is done, they'll have things like beer gardens, which is that's kind of a traditional Belgian thing. So people get into going in the beer garden. They have the race course go right by there. And of course, everyone is, let's say, a little more enthusiastic because they've been drinking beer. And so maybe a little bit louder. So when you're in a race and you go by the beer garden, it's deafening. It's crazy deafening. And that's a pretty cool thing. But what you want to do as a spectator is you want to go to your local farm store, and there are a number of them around, and you want to find the biggest, baddest cowbell you can. You want to find the loudest one you can find and grab yourself a cowbell. And that's what you do when the riders go by. You ring the bell. That's kind of a thing you do. It's part of the culture of cyclocross. People making a lot of noise, people yelling and screaming and trying to encourage the riders on. And I will tell you from a racing point of view, when you are, I'm not going to say on death's door, but when you're at that point where you have completely run out of gas and you don't have anything left in the tank and you are trying very hard to keep your enthusiasm up and keep your pedals turning, and your legs hurt and your head hurts and you're breathing really hard and you don't know how you're going to get around the next lap, when you start hearing that crowd cheer for you, something happens. It's a great thing. It just inspires you. It gets you all fired up, and you end up just performing better than you would have expected. It's very, very inspiring. It's a pretty cool thing. It's so bring your noisemakers, bring your cowbells, bring your best voice. Come there being prepared to be entertained. The Cyclocross National Championships are in Hartford in the first week of January. And this is, again, it is a very, very big deal. It is something that everyone should check out. It's I guarantee you will be very entertained by this whole thing. It's a pretty cool thing. The other thing about CCAP, if you want to learn a little bit more about them and the Connecticut Cycling Advancement Program, they also have a Facebook page, so you can check them out on Facebook. Just go to CCAP when you're looking to find, and it'll put you right to their website, and it will show you lots of pictures of kids with bicycle helmets on, which is kind of cool, and give you a little bit more information about what goes on and what it is that they are doing. It's just a great organization. I have made contact with some folks from BCCO, and I think that we're going to have them on, or at least someone representing them on next week. I had Tony Cervellas on before from that organization, but I have someone else I'm talking to, and they're going to have a whole bunch of activities that they are sponsoring at Nationals. And they are also doing a thing where if you're coming in from a long way, let's say you're flying here from California or from Colorado to compete in the Nationals, you can, I believe you can ship your bicycle to their store and they will assemble it for you. And they are doing some race support because they are right in downtown Hartford. So they're very, very close by. It's a really, really good organization, and they do different things. They just had a for all their coaches and their participants that are helping build this organization. They had a first aid and CPR training to help their youth team coaches, and that's a cool thing. I didn't have to go to that because I am already CPR trained because of all the fitness classes that I'm involved with. You can also take a look on there. You'll see videos, and it'll show you a great video of a 10-year-old CCAP junior who's in a bike race, and it's just very, very inspiring to see this and to see what this group is doing. There's also a new, really cool Cross Nationals print from a renowned artist and designer, Michael Valenti, and you'll see that there. And they're going to be selling these, obviously, and it's something that you can look into if you go to their website and you get to learn a little bit more about it. So anyway, very close affiliation with USA Cycling, very, very big deal having the Nationals here. This is just such a cool thing that we have coming up. And big, big shout out to CCAP for all of the work they do in getting young riders involved in a sport that we all just absolutely love. The, let's see here. I'm just looking to see. I know that there's another event coming up soon before Nationals, and I think it is in New Haven. And I will see if I can locate that. And that is a cyclocross race. So if you want to get an idea of what this is all about, you want to get a little preview, I would highly recommend that you go to, there's another website you can go to called the Connecticut Series of Cross, and it's www.ctseriesofcx.com. And it has a listing of all of the different races that are sponsored through the Connecticut Cyclocross Series, anywhere from the very beginning in September with Silk City and Riverfront on the opening weekend, which were in September. The Riverfront race is the one that I'm associated with. The E-Race at Hopbrook. There's another one at Mansfield Hollow. There's one in Cheshire Cyclocross. There's one in Newtown. And I think the Newtown one was most recent. That was in November, yeah. And now the next one coming up is March Farms on December 17th. And I'm trying to see if there's a March Farms Cyclo Madness. And then the final race is the Elm City Cross. So the March Farms race is, do we have a date on that? I believe that is December 17th. So you might want to check that out. And again, if you go to the website, it'll guide you and it'll let you know where these are and give you a preview of what you are to expect when you go to Nationals. Nationals will be at a higher level, but you do have to realize that we have riders right here in Connecticut that are of national level. One of our very famous riders who grew up in Niantic, Connecticut, and his name is Jeremy Powers, and he has been national champion a number of times. So he's the real deal. Where did he start out? Connecticut. Here we go. This is our state. This is our stuff. This is what we do. We are truly a cyclocross development and youth program development state. There's so much that goes on here. It's really a great thing. And, you know, you get out and check it out. I tell you, you will be so amused by this because it's not like anything you've ever seen before. And the March Farms race looks like is a new race. Class Cycles and the Ovens of France Bakery have teamed up, and they're putting on a cyclocross race in Bethlehem, Connecticut. And it's beautiful. It's in an orchard. There's some really interesting, it's gorgeous. It's just a beautiful place for a cross race. And again, that is coming up, and that will be on December 17th. And it is in Bethlehem, Connecticut. So very, very good. And it's December 13th. It looks like their online registration has been closed. So I'm sure that they've either filled up, which I find very hard to believe, or they just closed their registration very, very early. But anyway, you might want to just check that out and see what's going on, because it looks like it could be a fun time. And anyway, it's beautiful pastures. They're going to have soups and pastries afterward. Oh, that's nice. Isn't that nice? And they also have a Christmas tree farm there, too. So you can make it into a real event. It's kind of a neat thing. It is a limited race, and it does look like their field limits are small. So I would suggest that you contact them as soon as possible, because their fields are only looking like they're going to be in junior class, 30 people per field. I filled up one of my young fields. My 9 to 12s filled up very, very early, and I think we had over 30 riders in Hartford that signed up for the 9 to 12. We don't have a restriction, but they do. And then the adult fields here appear to be 60-person fields. So that would tell me that their course isn't able to handle a lot of people. But it is a first year, so they are learning a little bit about putting on a cross race, but it would be a great race to go to. And I would strongly encourage you to check that one out. The other one that you want to check out, and see if I can get any information in here at all on this, is there is one that my friends at Amity Bicycle Shop in Woodbridge, Connecticut, have been putting on for quite some time. Kurt has been a strong supporter of cyclocross and mountain bike racing over the years. And so he's got a race that is in New Haven. It is the final race of the year, and it will be in New Haven. And let me see if I can find that in here, and I'm not seeing it listed here. But anyway, it is later in December. So it will be the last of the Connecticut races, December 18th. So it's the day after the March Farms race. It's on December 18th. And you can check that one out. And that's a race that's been around for a while. Kurt is very, very involved. The race promoter is very involved in bicycle racing, as were his parents when he was just a toddler running around the store. And I go way back, and I've known his mom and dad for a very, very long time. And that is coming up very, very soon. And that is on the 18th of December. And it is the finale of the Connecticut Series of Cross. So it's you should probably check that one out too, because that's right in New Haven. So that's fairly close by. And online registration deadline is Saturday, December 17th. So you have a lot of time to get yourself in there. But I would suggest that you get in there, because there's going to be a lot of people coming to the state and to New England to race cross, just to kind of get warmed up for nationals, because there are going to be people that are traveling all around. So to join in on this particular venue. So anyway, registration deadline is on the 17th. The race is on the 18th. It is in New Haven, Connecticut. You can get information for it on www.bikereg.com, and you can sign up there. You can get more event information there. You can contact the event if you want to know a little bit more about it. And Get your feet wet with a little cyclocross, and you literally may get your feet wet. So it does happen. There is a very entry level race there besides the actual juniors races. There are also senior races, and they are They have a category called Category 5, which is Category 5 is your very entry-level category. In women, it's Category 4. In men, it's Category 5. And you you can race for the first time. You can buy a single-day license, and you can go out and test your skills and your mettle against some fairly talented riders. So you may get an education, but a lot of the races, I know the ones that I'm involved with, we don't pull lapped riders, so we let you stay in even if you've been lapped by some of the leaders. You still get to get the experience of being in the race and enjoying the race. So unlike a road race where or a criterium where they would probably pull you out if you get lapped, that doesn't happen in a cross race as often. It's usually a promoter's discretion on that, so you don't always get the same thing at every single race. But most of the promoters I know, we try not to pull lapped riders because we just want to promote the sport. So anyway, cyclocross, it's coming. It's coming to Hartford soon, and we've got to wrap this thing up. I apologize for not being able to get Hunter on this week. Maybe I can coerce him into coming here and physically being here, and we definitely won't have a problem speaking with him then. So anyway, you have been listening to Bicycle Talk with my co-host, Fran Storch, a show where we talk about bicycles, bicycle culture, bicycle advocacy, upcoming news in cycling, bicycle business, and the bicycle calendar. Again, you can call or text us at 860-486-9487, or you can send an email to me at bicycletalk1@gmail.com, and that goes for you podcast listeners also. This is Pedalin' Ron. Remember, keep the rubber side down and the wind at your back. Get out and ride your bike. This is 91.7 FM WHUS Storrs.